I better call Mike. This episode is brought to you by Aldi, the choice of the price conscious consumer.
Don't sober now. I wasn't.
No, you're not, Mike.
I doubt if everyone here is sober.
I can't drink during the day at all. It just knocked me out. I wasn't sober.
Hey, so
Mike? Yeah.
Or Sarah?
Yes.
Or whomever, Cormod, we're going to talk about Malcolm McLuhan for a minute.
Malcolm McLuhan, you've decided to adopt Malcolm
yeah.
as the name. Why do we have to?
Malcolm Jamal McLuhan.
Right.
Has there been one of these where you didn't discuss Marshall McLuhan?
I don't think so.
I've never read the guy.
I know. You probably haven't even watched one of his videos.
I don't know. I just thought maybe he was outdated.
No, are you kidding? And I'm able to apply his ideas every day, just about. The most recent. I love that. I was thinking about.
Do you corner people in your daily life about Martha McLuhan?
It's like the rhyme of the ancient mariner. Fredericks hangs around outside of the wedding collar.
You work him into just about every other conversation?
No.
Okay, who's a stopwatch here?
So
okay, let's time.
Sounds like you're on a bit of a crusade.
Let's time the Marshall McLuhan claptrap.
Yeah, set your.
It's 9:26.
Set your egg timer.
I give you to 9:30.
Okay. All right.
4 minutes.
I'll make it simple.
Okay.
When back in the day of TV and radio, the people viewing the media were the consumers, and the media attempted to sell them the product. Now that we interact with computers all the time and they're constantly gathering data about us, we have become the product, and we are being sold to marketers. Amen.
But we were being sold back then, too, with the advertising.
To a degree, but not with the precision.
I know. It's much more direct, and there's a whole lot more that can be gleaned.
And the medium has grown and refined.
Yes. New.
And it's changed our relationship. iPhones and digital has changed our relationship with music. Oh, by the way, this episode is brought to you by Aldi, the choice of the price-conscious consumer.
It's brought to you by Marshall McLuhan.
Yeah.
The ghost of Marshall McLuhan.
I think he's following me around.
Well, you're one of the only people who's keeping, you know, there's a train of thought that says that afterlife is really just as long as you are remembered. You personally, Fredericks, are responsible for Marshall McLuhan's afterlife. You are keeping him alive more than anyone else on the planet right now.
Woody Allen too. Doesn't he get a? Isn't he in Annie Hall? Isn't there like a little?
Yeah.
Marshall McLuhan in there.
We could all go briefly and watch that.
I already watched it. It was on Chinatown the other day. I watched it.
You don't have to. Basically, somebody argues a point about McLuhan, and McLuhan walks up and looks at the guy and says, "You know nothing of my work." And Woody looks at the camera and says, "Wouldn't it be great if life was this simple?" That was it.
Yep.
That's when Woody's life is more simple.
Well, the thing was, the guy was a pompous jerk behind him, and he was breathing real hard on his neck and spitting on him.
And Woody Allen was a jerk, too. And he was being a petulant idiot, Woody Allen's character.
Agreed, but he's adorable.
Yeah. That was not adorable. That was just, oh, Lord, I've known people like that. Oh, God.
Yes, I have, too.
Right. Don't you want to tell them to shut up sometimes?
Yeah.
No?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Literally.
Oh, boy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Slightly Malcolm McLuhan related is the code-based medium.
Malcolm McLuhan.
Code-based medium only.
Or Marshall McLaren.
After.
That's last week, Sarah.
Code-based medium only emerged after the discovery of the DNA. And it was able to give people a different way of conceiving of the transfer of information. And that's when computers based on code emerged.
So you think code would not have existed were it not for the discovery of DNA?
It already existed, but it needed to be discovered. And the discovery of DNA opened people's minds to look.
Yeah. I know it already existed. I'm saying the discovery of DNA led to the.
I'm not persuaded by that at all, especially since computers existed long, you know, that Ada, what's her name? There were early computers, clockwork computers. There were calculating machines long before DNA was
discovered. DNA?
Yes.
Oh, you're talking about those steampunk novels.
I'm talking about real life. Let me get the cat off my lap so I can use my typewriter. My typewriter.
Didn't they find some sort of mechanical object that was sort of a navigation computer on a shipwreck from ancient Greece? It was like,
I haven't heard of that, but.
Could well be. I just know
years old.
I just know that at least in the 19th century there were things going on, and probably in the 18th century with clockwork stuff.
Was code based? No.
Did you ever hear about this this machine that supposedly it was around in the 19th century, and people were amazed by it.
Just like a fake, like a medium.
Yeah, like the girls that learn how to crack their toes.
Of course, exactly like that.
Well, you know, spiritualism was very big for a while with a lot of respected people back, I believe it was in the 1800s, including Sir Conan Doyle.
Yes, I know that.
He believed in the fairies. Those were pictures of actual fairies.
I guess Doyle didn't do as much coke as his character did, so, you know.
You referenced what is it? The 7% solution?
Yeah, I was just about to bring up that movie.
They made a movie of that?
There was a movie, I think, called The 7% Solution.
I read the book back when I was a teenager, I think.
Yeah, there's a movie, too. There's a movie based on the book.
I didn't get to that.
Yeah.
I was disconnecting already.
Sorry, I'm distracted reading the Chinatown chat right now, talking about Alec Baldwin and Sean Hannity.
What's the deal with those kids?
Someone in Chinatown posted a clip from a radio show where Alec Baldwin was on the show and Sean Hannity called up.
And Mark Levin.
I hate to admit, I know more about Sean Hannity than I do about Alec Baldwin. So could I have just a brief?
He's an actor who is a liberal. There.
Oh boy, that's
and Hannity has like a personal vendetta against Baldwin.
Did Baldwin say anything?
It might have stemmed from this. Where Baldwin just tore into him.
Yeah, being a painter or something.
No, about being a former construction worker. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I know.
But Alec Baldwin needs to cool it with the hate speech, though, I think. Right. I mean, he has a little bit lately, but...
Why? Who else does he hate?
He has, like, frequent tantrums when being... Like, it's kind of funny, actually, because it's like the paparazzi seem like they know they could get a rise out of him.
Oh.
And every time they do it, he'll, like, use some kind of slur, whether it be racial or, like...
Homophobic. France there, a little bit.
Thank you. I was trying to find the word. Right, yeah. And I find it more offensive that somebody who pretends to be as liberal as him would have that stuff in their vocabulary than somebody who, you know,
so right at the edge of their mind that as soon as they're put under stress, they go to.
Where he goes, and he's gone there in writing too. He's like used homophobic slurs on Twitter before, so it's like it's not just something that blurts out. He's got to type that out. You know, he's.
I think he's mildly insane, is what I think.
I think you might be right. Yeah,
maybe he's crazy too.
Maybe everybody's crazy, and now
I think celebrities are.
And now
I think
celebrities is because who's everybody's looking at? If you had everybody looking at you like they got everybody looking at.
I think the drive to the desire for fame, much like the desire for power, requires one to be somewhat sane to begin with.
Yes, I do think that's true. And if you weren't to begin with.
It will make you.
It will encourage any weakness or perversion or illicit desire, which most people have, and it just goes through their head, and they carry on with their day. Suddenly, they're in a position where it could become possible.
Yes, I agree.
They try to do it. But I do think that, you know, that's the difference between a crazy person and a sane person isn't so much their ideas. It's which ideas they act upon.
I guess. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Right, I was thinking for some reason about pedophiles the other day. And I was thinking there are probably tons of people who harbor some interest in children, but who never act on it, so no one knows about it. But we only hear about the people who act on it, and thus people think that all pedophiles are sort of sex-crazed maniacs.
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's a select part of the population, and that most people don't think that way.
Well, but even so, don't you think that probably there are people who have the desire, but also have the impulse control to curb the desire?
No, not in that particular area. You know, I don't.
Do you have any evidence of this, or is this just your?
No,
opinion?
But I'm just talking about the numbers. You know, I mean, it's, you know, if you're saying, you know, what are you saying? Like 75% of people have those ideas?
No.
Good Lord, no. Where did you come up with that? I didn't say the vast majority of people.
She said that a percentage of the people that.
But she said tons. When she said tons, it sounds like a large percent.
In a world of 6 billion people, Mike.
Exactly. Tons could mean.
A tiny percentage is tons.
That's right.
What percentage are you talking about?
I have not bothered to try to determine a percentage.
I just think there
are people out in the world who harbor the desire, but also have the ability to control their impulses. And, of course, we would never know about these people.
Because they never act upon
it.
Well, what does...
I don't know how you would determine.
Act upon it. You can't. I am speculating, as you were speculating, that it is... that they go in hand, that the desire, the lusting for children... goes hand in hand with acting on the lust.
That's almost like the old Catholic Church thing. If you think it, then you did it, and it's a sin. So, you know, give us some money.
That's the slogan, right? Wasn't that on the banner over the church, engraved in stone over the entryway to the church? We can't know, Mike, is my point
here.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, so we're just throwing out generalities.
Yeah.
I would say that it's still a very small percentage. I don't think there's like a huge percentage of people who think it and don't act on it.
Well,
how many people
do you think are gay and don't act on it, Mike?
I have no idea.
Well,
I bet there are some.
I'm sure. And
how many people are straight that don't even manage to like
act on it?
Hook up
who don't act on it?
Yeah. So it goes across everything if you think about it.
Of course.
Well, with pedophilia, I mean, acting upon that would be a immoral as opposed to these other.
But my point was more that because we only hear about the pedophiles who act on it, everyone thinks that it's automatic, that if you're a pedophile, you automatically will screw children. A 17-year-old girl.
I don't think pedophilia is a sexual preference. I think most of the pedophilia people are they were abused themselves. That it seems to be that's how it originates.
No, my most recent study said that it's actually an orientation.
I don't believe that. Most of the people who become pedophiles were abused themselves. You know, that's kind of
the pedophiles who act on it are the pedophiles who are actually abused themselves.
Acted upon, but yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's a sexual preference. I don't think there's people.
You think it's a perversion that's passed on?
Who are into kids and weren't abused. I don't think that's I mean,
given that there are people who fall in love with bridges.
Yes.
It's not because they were abused by bridges once when they were young.
You don't know that, Fredericks.
I don't know that, Fredericks. You're right. I don't know that.
The odds are highly against it.
A guy was in love with his car. Like, he had a sexual relationship.
I'm in love with my car.
So, on the show, what kind of car was this guy in love with?
I forget the name. I forget.
I would gauge his level of dementia, depending on what kind of car. I mean, if it was something you liked.
It was a Yugo.
Stan loves cars. Let's put
it was a
that
Pinto.
Way.
First, he was in love with a Dodge Dart.
It was a Bobcat.
Yeah, and he
admitted. You can cram a 426 Hemi in there.
Mike, well, your theory, how would that fit in with bestiality?
Right. What, were you abused by a dog?
A puppy.
A puppy?
When I was a little boy.
A bunny? A sheep?
Well, you guys remember that African story where the guy got caught and he said it was a woman, but then she transformed herself into a goat?
No.
Quick thinking on his part.
I think I
don't know whether
dated her.
Held up in court.
You
or not.
Think you dated her?
Yeah, I had a little duck once, and they used to follow me around.
Now I gotta go make some tea. Mike, do your job.
It's American Spirit tea is what he's making. There you go.
Speaking of sexual deviants, there's a couple that comes into the bar. They're not very popular. A couple recent things happened with them. One of the bartenders had just gotten off his shift, and the husband approached him while he was sitting there relaxing and asked him if he would be interested in a threesome with him and his wife. And, of course, he politely declined. They're not very attractive people, and it just was out of the blue.
They never are.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently they're sort of semi-slingers. And another time he came into the bar. This is more recently. He came into the bar. And he comes in the morning. Actually, he was there today when I was there. And actually, believe it or not, he's like a big radio guy. And he even called Depravity's Rainbow one time. But I can't remember what we talked about. But anyway, so today, more recently, he was in the bar and he was bragging about how he taped his wife to the bed, you know, and really gave it to her. And then the bartender just says to him at one point, he's like, "Did you cut her free?" And he's like, he took a sip of his beer and he says, "I gotta go."
God.
But yeah, there's some weirdos in Bayonne.
That sounds so much like an official joke and not a real story?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, here's another anecdote. Take it for what it is, you know.
No, apparently. I'm not questioning you. I'm just saying it sounds like, you know, it doesn't sound like it could be real.
It's too good.
It's such a punchline, you know?
Yeah, well, did he finish his drink first is the question.
Downed it in one, at least, you know.
In another anecdote, he apparently, you know, wanted to give his wife a gift of some dildos and vibrators and so on. Mm. And yet, instead of doing this privately at home, he had her unwrap this thing at a family gathering. So everybody's gathered around the tree and opening on their presents, and she opens her box of dildos.
He's trying to reel in some family members, you know.
There seems to be no line with this guy, you know. He's just out there.
Well, I hope his wife shares his bent.
She's a nut. I mean, she's a complete nut. I mean, they're both nuts, but the wife, I believe, is even nuttier than the guy.
Did he say what the family's reaction to this was?
Yeah, they were horrified. You know, there's some normal people apparently in this family, you know, and they didn't quite agree with you. And then, of course, all the bartenders were giving him a hard time, saying, you know, asking whether they were battery operated or not. And he said it was battery operated, and everybody's like, well, you're never going to see your wife again. He's on a new journey.
Oh, that could be true even for a manual one, depending on how well endowed he is. So, you know.
What has happened to my show?
Blame Mike. This
one
was
Mike's fault. You'll have to listen to the tape.
Now, the punchline is she named it Marshall McLuhan.
And I guess we can go back into favorite objects, you know. I mean, my friend of mine, you know, is put me as her, what is it?
Executor?
Executor, yes.
How did I know that?
And you know, she's saying, I want you to be my executor when I die.
Oh, man.
And she felt it was necessary to include the fact that, you know, she wants me to get in there and get the stuff out of her drawer.
Well, that's refreshing, because usually you hear that story in connection with men, so it's nice that it's a woman this time. Is she planning on dying soon, or is she just
but she, prudent? You know, gotta
she
get
just
her...
wants him to know she's got the drawer.
That would be right, Frederick. This could be your next date, Mike.
I'm good friends with her. You know, I've known her for many years. You know,
well, that
start
be part
scoping
of the
out construction sites.
No, yeah. I just found it kind of funny.
This could be. She feels awkward. You know, you've been friends for years.
No, she's not awkward at all. I mean,
you're missing my point. It's awkward making the transition from friend to lover. And so she's trying to introduce the idea into your head by mentioning her stash.
That wasn't the intent, no.
She's letting you know the equipment still works.
She's making a joke. We had a nice laugh.
Mike, you take things too seriously.
I laughed at it when she told me. How's that taking me seriously?
You're taking us too seriously.
Oh, okay, all right.
Poor Mike.
Oh, dear. I want to bring up something that was said in the last chat. Someone said that Sarah would, I think it was Mike W., said that Sarah would make a good rapper. And I was wondering.
I don't think
that. Who was the person who said that? Someone that said that Sarah would be really good at rapping.
That was me!
That makes sense.
About punctuation!
Rapping about punctuation.
And she's going to make the explanation point.
Explanation point.
The explanation point? Okay, you do need help with your grammar, I guess. No, I...
yeah. Oh, he's out of the tent. Sorry.
The fort, fortress of pillows and
Fred's taking blanket a picture fort. Of his cup so he, can show it so he can send it to Mike.
That's cool.
Yeah. But it,
all right, so sounds like we need a new topic.
No.
Are you there?
Yeah, somebody screwed me up. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, no.
Everybody else is on the other call, I think.
Mike? Oh, come on.
How do I connect to the other call?
It's Picnic again.
I do it to you every time, Frederick.
How the hell did I get on this call? Am I on hold?
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm on hold on the other one. I'm hanging up on this one and going back.
How do I get on to the regular one?
Call Mike.
I don't know who that is.
The Picnic came through again. I don't know. He was calling on Mike Skype 8.
It's and now there's a big echo.
So did everybody get put on hold just then?
Yeah, I did.
No,
okay. I did.
No. Yes.
What if you just decline these calls there, Frederick?
I'm going to.
Oh, here he comes. Oh, he came in a different way. I'm going to try him one more time.
He better be damn good, though. I'm going through all this.
Who, me?
Yes.
I'll do the best I can. I called Fredericks directly instead of calling into the old call.
Is everybody else hearing this?
Yes.
I hear it.
Oh, good. I just want to make sure. But anyways, good. You did the right thing.
All right.
Where were we?
That's right, Cormon.
Little tiny giggles in the background.
That's Dan.
I know, I'm doing it too.
I like this.
Jesus, this is really degenerating.
Giggles are good. Also,
they are good.
Raising your arms over your head is very good for you too. At least a minute a day if you can.
Hey, sure, rub that in. I won't be able to do that in a little while, Frederick.
That's right, shoulder lady.
I can't be cheerful. I can't.
I saw a couple good music documentaries.
Oh, good. I love those.
Did you see the Muscle Shoals one?
No.
That's a really good one. And I just saw, I think it won the Oscar, 20 Feet from Stardom.
Oh, I heard good stuff about that.
That's the backup singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both worth checking out.
But in their discussion, too, in there about celebrity and about liking...
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Without being...
Yeah,
about how celebrity drives people crazy, and this is a way of... getting close without having to deal with the, you know, because...
Well, no, I mean, a lot of these backup singers did have aspirations to be lead singers, you know, but it just didn't happen for them, you know, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of them did put out, you know, solo records, but for, you know, different reasons, you know, their records didn't really connect, so they never became, like, a popular front person. You know, the backup singers they talk to are Darlene Love, Mary Clayton, who's the backup vocal.
Did you ever listen to her solo record?
No, I haven't heard it.
It used to be in the cutout bin all the time when I was a kid, and I never picked it up, and I always wondered.
No, I mean, I'm probably going to try and track it down. Maybe they have it on Spotify. I haven't checked yet, but... Yeah, I'm sure it's pretty... I mean, they showed clips of her performing back then, and she was a great singer, you know? But at the time, you know, that was at the same time as Aretha Franklin. So it seems like there's only, you know, room at the top for certain types of singers, a couple, you know, one female soul singer, and, you know, we can't really accommodate for more than one. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but, you know, that was sort of how it panned out commercially, you know?
Right.
And I didn't know, the one thing I did learn, that I didn't realize that Phil Spector would cut records with Darlene Love doing the lead vocal and then attribute it to the Crystals. I didn't know that was going on, where you're not even really hearing the band that's on the label. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, when it comes to rock and roll and stuff like that, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. I was, you know, Johnny Ramone used to have Walter Lure from the Heartbreakers on a number of their records to play the leads because Johnny didn't play lead. Uh-huh. And he just thought, you can do that, and you don't even have to tell people because that's what they did in the old days.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, at least at the beginning, the Monkees and the early Birds.
Yeah, I mean, didn't Jimmy Page to lead on
and explain and no.
Allegedly, he did.
Oh, yeah,
some kinks.
Mike, I'm sorry, I was out. Were you scandalized that you found out that someone was fraudulently credited on a record or something? What happened?
Well, yeah, I didn't know the extent that Phil Spector did that on his records, that he would, you know, Darling Love would be the lead vocal, and he would say...
Oh, right, yeah.
He recently saw 20 Feet from Stardom, is that right?
Yeah, that's the name of it.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I'd like to see that, too.
It's good. It's interesting.
Was it Academy Award?
I think it won. Yeah, I think it did.
Yeah, but was it worth it? I find that kind of troubling that these rock docs are all of a sudden winning the best, you know?
What else won? I don't remember another one that won.
Well, last year, that Searching for Sugar Man won, and that thing was just... I mean, that was fine and all, but it was just a run-of-the-mill rock documentary.
I don't know what it was up against, whether it was... I mean, I enjoyed that movie, too, you know? So, I mean, I don't know what it was up against, whether it was better or not, you know?
Yeah, but you didn't... I mean, that did you think that Searching for Sugar Man was, like, any better than, like, say, any rock documentary, the type of which seems to have been perfected in the last 20 years?
No, I mean, it's not like they're groundbreaking or anything, but, you know, if they have a good story to tell. I mean, I guess, actually, yeah, I mean, I did like... I'm not sure whether it won or not. I'd have to look. I mean, I know it may have been up against the movie that I really liked, Act of Killing. Is that what's the name of that one?
Yeah. Act of Killing.
Yeah. I know that didn't win, so... Yeah, that was obviously a better movie.
It was the movie about backup singers that won.
So it did win, all right.
She won because she sang her acceptance speech.
Uh-huh. They didn't know what she was going to do when she won the award. That's not why she won.
What's that?
I mean, you can't get too bent out of shape about how the Oscars are selected.
I mean, yeah.
It's a problem.
No, I suppose you're right. I mean, it's not...
Play someone with a disability or something.
Well, Capote was nominated for Best Picture that year, too. That was...
Certainly, yeah.
Whatever happened to the guy who played Capote? I haven't heard of him in a while.
Yeah.
Playing Capote with the Angel.
Gene Simmons came out and said he has no sympathy for... that's his thing, not having sympathy for people involved drug addiction.
Who is this?
Gene Simmons.
Oh, Gene Simmons.
Bass player.
Paul Stanley's book hits shelves today.
Who?
Paul Stanley.
Oh boy.
I did have a laugh that Kiss is not going to perform at the Hall of Fame ceremony because only the first four members are being acknowledged.
How do you do that?
And what was really weird was that they aren't going to give the. Not really related to Kiss, but related to this year's Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing. They used the fact that the Nirvana single came out, like, I think it's 25 years or something. The
And they used it, like, so their first signal was Love Buzz, and the drummer on that was that Chad Channing.
Yeah.
And they're not going to induct him, but that he played on the song that was making them eligible. You know, it's like, I guess meanwhile, when the Red Hot Chili Peppers won, they brought, let them, every drummer they ever had in. You know, it's so strange.
I read that the Kiss came to an agreement to have all four original members play, but I think that was recently, but I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. But I thought I read that.
I read the on RollingStone.com. I guess it's like the cover story of their current issue, and it seemed like they were all pretty much accepted the fact it wasn't going to happen.
Well, I mean, Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley love publicity so much that I can't imagine that they would turn down something like that.
Even
if they had this, you know, so-called convictions about their future, their members after Ace Frehley and Peter Criss being just as much part of Kiss as Frehley and Criss.
Well, but, how do they decide these things?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Have the Rolling Stones been inducted yet?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and they inducted Ian Stewart in with the Rolling Stones. Oh. I was just reading that the other day.
And how about Mick Taylor?
I'm sure
he's been inducted, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I can't find any mention of the band having settled their dispute, but I did find ex-Kiss drummer Peter Criss denies former bandmate Paul Stanley's charges that he's an anti-Semite. So there is that out there.
Those guys...
That is a beautiful band right there.
Yeah, they really, they do not know. Like, just when you think they hit bottom, they'll go so many more rungs down.
Rock I'm surprised bottom. That they weren't inducted earlier. I mean, they were so big in the 70s. Why did it take so long for them?
I think for the same reason that the Monkees aren't. I think that Jan Werner dude who runs the Rolling Stone doesn't, which I guess is the same thing as running the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I guess he just takes a dim view of those kind of like, I guess, what would years ago have been called like a manufactured band, which nobody cares about that stuff anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Well, are the Birds in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Probably, yeah.
I'd say certainly, yeah.
Well, they were more or less manufactured at the beginning.
Sex Pistols were manufactured.
I can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah. By Malcolm McLuhan.
I can't wait for that Daft Punk induction in 20 years.
Yeah, they cashed in on the residence idea. Of making it about the band, not about the members. I think that's brilliant.
Hey, Fredericks.
Yes?
Do you care to guess who's going to be handling the vocal duties for Nirvana at the induction ceremony of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
You don't have to
tell me. What's that?
You don't have to tell me. Paul McCartney.
That's what you would think, right?
Who else?
I would think it was Dave Grohl. It'd be Dave Grohl.
Oh, no, but that would be
keep worse. Guess. Keep the guesses coming. Anybody
okay,
else?
Yeah, let's play. Guess
Courtney Love. It'll be
no
Courtney
cheating.
Love.
You. Yeah, that's a good guess, too, but it's actually...
Well, I mean, they all hate Courtney Love.
Right. She's threatening to be on stage with them, though, so that actually might be interesting.
She could do it. She could do it, I have faith. No, it's Mark Lanegan.
Now, should I just say it's because it's Joan Jett. So, what?
Oh my God! I much prefer Paul McCartney.
Courtney Love would be better.
Courtney Love would make so much more sense.
A thousand times better.
And speaking of being in like a manufactured band, isn't that what the Runaways were too? Like,
yeah.
Is it too late to guess Billy Corgan?
No, and I think Courtney gets a bad rap.
Yeah.
In some ways, yeah, because it was like Sarah was saying that women get in trouble for doing the same thing that men do.
She's horrible.
She might be, but blaming her for his death is...
No, I mean, yeah.
No, and Live Through This is not a bad record.
No, it's not. It's actually, I think it's a good record, yeah. Right.
I actually saw that.
That's because Billy Corgan wrote a lot of it.
No, Kurt Cobain wrote that. Billy Corgan wrote Celebrity Skin, the follow-up that took okay. 4 years to come. Yeah.
I apologize. Jeez.
Yeah. Because there's demos online of Kurt Cobain singing some of the songs that are on Live Through This, or singing parts of them with Courtney, I guess.
Well, that's legitimate. But I mean, I think her wild antics on stage and stuff, I mean, Iggy Pop gets celebrated and she gets...
Well, she's done some really obnoxious, I mean, things that Iggy Pop... I don't know. Did you see the... I think I posted this on Chinatown, the video of Courtney Love. Someone...
Dangling a baby out of an apartment building?
What'd you say? What'd you say?
Dangling a baby out of an apartment building.
Michael Jackson had his own
blanket.
Blanket.
Hang on, blanket. Hang on.
Hang on, blanket. Hang on.
They say he diddled a boy.
Oh, don't get Mike started. Yeah, what happened to Michael Jackson?
Oh, I'm sure.
Crickets.
I'm going through the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees right now and seeing how many people I've never heard of.
It'd be very strange if Motley Crue were in there and not New York Dolls, since the Motley Crue is just like a
horrible
metal ripoff version.
They're not in there. I mean, I looked at faces first, but they're under Small Faces first.
Sarah, is Bryan Adams in there?
One moment. See, the woman is the secretary. I take it on myself. Bryan Adams, is that what you said? No.
Yeah.
He's not in there.
He's not in there.
I was going to see if all three singers of All for One and All for Love are in there, but I guess we have to settle for 2 out of 3.
So is Bryan still here?
Yeah.
All right, so what kind of frame do I need for my painting?
Oh, right, you've had some time to think about it.
I gave you plenty of time.
One of those really, like, intricately carved ones that are, like, really, really thick.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, nothing simple or plain.
Why? I would have thought simple and plain.
Because you always start big, and then you work down as people say what they can afford.
I can't think of any, like, simple and plain one that would look great, because you got half of it's very bright, half of it's very dark. You put a dark frame on, it's going to bring out the bright. But it's
Bryan, do you frame for a living?
Yeah.
Where at?
I work at a chain store, AC Moore.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Not just a chain store. You could just say, I work at AC Moore.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just an East Coast chain, so I don't know how familiar with everyone is.
Yeah.
Just act like it's real exclusive, and that's why she never heard of it.
I'd go with a shiny, like either a silvery or painted white frame.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you know, if you got to go
would
playing,
you put a mat on it?
Match like one or two of the colors.
That's a whole other can of worms because
there's
probably about 200 different colors of mats.
Yeah, I frame. I'm not the
issue. I'm
not frozen to that. No.
Right?
I'm still working my way to be an expert, too.
I'm not by any means an expert, but it's like part of my duties at my job, so.
Where was the Dolly Museum again? Where was
St. Petersburg.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Mike went there. I don't know if he's still here.
I mean Dolly's, Mike is not here.
Did Mike go?
He was 86.
That's right, he's gone.
How did that end up in St. Petersburg? Why is it there?
Because of the Morris family, they bought it and they donated. They had made a great collection of Dolly, and they donated it to the city.
Oh, there, he's back.
There he is, he's
back. I just did that with the promise that it doesn't leave the city.
Okay. All right.
And now they've built this incredible building. I mean, where it's got like a, you know how he's got always has sort of melting things? They actually have glass that goes all the way around the museum that is, you know, flowing and dome-shaped, and each individual piece of glass is cut individually. There's actually a helix, a single helix as a stairwell on the way up.
Mm-hmm. You would agree that Dolly was much more talented than Andy Warhol, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think yeah. You mean as a specific technique?
Just as an artist.
Dolly, I mean, Warhol was a wonderful conceptualist. And I mean, the fact that he had the factory and that in interviews he'd say, you know, just look at me because I am what I am.
I mean, I think he was kind of interesting as a public figure, but I always thought he was kind of a fraud as an artist, to be honest.
I agree with you.
I thought of him as a conceptual artist, and I thought that he was like a great...
But he wasn't. But that's not criticizing it. I mean, he was in love with it. It seemed.
Yes. I guess you are correct. He loved it, but at the same time, he loved the superficiality of it. But
Cormod, what you don't get is that the medium was the message.
Thank you, Sarah.
Okay. I guess I.
That's funny.
And no, I don't think that as a technician he was as good as Dalí, but I feel like Dalí was leading you into his own mind, whereas Warhol was shifting your perspective to your entire culture. And in the same way that John Cage said that he would prefer to listen to The Sound of Traffic than Beethoven. I mean, it was all part of this whole thing about, you know, experience. In the Balinese culture, they don't have, I learned this from McLuhan, they don't have a word for art.
Does anything that's dumb saying you prefer to listen to Traffic than Beethoven? I mean,
no.
Really?
I mean, sometimes I like Beethoven, but sometimes I like Traffic too.
Yeah, I mean, I like I guess, but Beethoven is dumb. Beethoven is fictitious noise, while...
It's a product of a conceptualization of the hierarchical structure of things. He did say that he never took LSD, but he did read Finnegan's Wake aloud, which he understood was the same thing.
Yeah.
Judging by my fellow citizens, I'd say America's more of a large than a medium.
I would have to agree. Is that McLuhan?
When I'm on a picnic.
More like an XL, probably, than a large. Or a triple XL.
I did read that we are, at least by the BMI standards, we are the fattest country.
Yes.
But that is because of the way we are sold food and the way food is produced.
Yeah, I guess.
I've still been trying to figure out when, and I guess in some cases if, but, you know, there was a time when being fat was a sign of status. Now it seems like being fit and... You know, even if you're not really fit,
it's because poor people can be fat now. I mean, that's why being fat was status, because it meant you had enough money to buy all that food.
Oh, so it's the whole class division status.
You knew that, Frederick.
You must have.
Yeah, Frederick, that seems like something that you would be basic.
All right, so I was trying to lead you into something. Yeah.
I cannot stand disingenuousness.
It was supposed to be a teachable moment.
We don't need you to teach us.
Anyways.
All right. Fine, I was just thinking about it.
Oh, wait, speaking of teachable moments, can somebody explain comedy to me? Right before I got disconnected, I was asking about comedy to me.
Oh, that is so what about Todd Barry?
I heard his appearances over the years on The Best Show.
Stand-up doesn't do it for me.
I've liked his stand-up. In any case, because he does promote what he's doing.
It's good. You know, I don't think it's, you know, the greatest thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I don't think it's the greatest thing.
What's it called? I'll go get it in the other room. Hold on.
Okay. I'll crinkle paper to make it like we're sitting around the fire.
Oh, shit. I had my mic off. I just told Mike what it was. It's a biographical dictionary of film, right?
Yeah, I hear you. The fire is pretty loud.
Yeah, that's his big book. But he's got other books. I did one recently where it's
the fire is still going.
What's all the paper stuff like?
Is that a Christmas tree that you're burning?
No, those go much quicker, and they make a lot more whooshing noises. No, this is just some warm coals in the fort.
And you can't smoke in the fort. I
don't smoke in the house.
Yeah.
And certainly not in the fort.
Yeah, I don't smoke in the house either.
It's a good idea not to. It's polite to people that have to clean it after you die.
Ah, the hell with them.
Yeah. Sarah has no compunctions about smoking house.
Did you know Doris Lessing was dead?
I'm surprised that she was alive still, actually.
And John Pignette, or what's his name? Something like Pignette. What's his name? Fat guy.
Pignette, yep.
I have no idea who he is.
He's that fat guy.
Oh, Michael Moore.
Oh, yeah.
John Candy.
Let's talk about
Belushi.
All the fat guys in film.
Yeah.
And Mickey Rooney, too. He's done.
He was ancient.
It was some interesting commentary on the passing of Mickey Rooney at Masses.
What did they have to say?
The first comment was, he fucked all the old great broads.
All the what? They got all the, old, big...
all the old great broads.
Oh.
That's his legacy.
And then later on, somebody said he wasn't a midget in all areas.
How did that person know?
Well, I don't know. One of my uncle's famous sayings, you know, I don't know where he got this general statement, but he used to like to say, big man, big dick, small man, all dick. That was one of his sayings. I don't know what it's based on, science or not, I don't know.
I think it just has to do with proportion.
But I guess that's where the theory is about the Mickey Rooney comes from.
Yeah, he was in the Midsummer Night's Dream in, what, like 1930?
Yeah, he was Puck.
Yeah, that's right.
He's like five or something.
That was the big moment in his career. Although I gather he's been playing, he has a recurring role as a judge on Law & Order UK.
Oh, really?
Yes. The problem with a movie name like Flowers is that it's really hard to find it because it occurs in so many, the word Flowers occurs in so many titles.
And they don't always put the
clip of it on YouTube.
Oh, well, that's good. I figured it might be like Andy Breckman's Moving Day or whatever.
Well, Flowers, Fireside.
Right, it's Peter Bergman. Peter Bergman.
Peter Bergman.
And we're going to be winding up soon.
He's dead. I didn't know he was dead.
Yeah, that's. I told you it was.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. I didn't make the connection.
I know, you thought they were just.
Yeah.
He was old. Not because he died of leukemia.
Oh, well.
Honk, honk.
Right. There it is.
Mike, were you familiar with the Fireside Theater?
Who, me?
No, Mike Lisk.
Oh, Mike Lisk.
Don't crush that dwarf, hand me the pliers.
Yeah, I don't think I ever really heard anything that got me too enthused about it, so I never really pursued it.
Oh.
You know, I mean, I know, I think I talked about how, like, when I was younger collecting records, I've used different record guides, and, you know, they had some highly rated records, but I never really got into them.
But Firesign was way more than musical comedy. I mean, they wrote alternate histories and...
Yeah, I don't think of them as music at all, really. I think of them as it's spoken.
You can pee right into the stream, and that's important.
He's no fun. He's no fun. He fell right over.
We could just get in the saddle again. I was just thinking of the songs.
There's Porgy, firefighter. He's a spy and a girl delighter.
Besides little bits of songs here and there.
But I mean, their heyday was like the late 60s.
Well, there's Porgy.
Right?
That's true. And they used to use the old-time microphones and stuff, and they really, I don't know. And it was so deeply written, like you'd have a phone call. On one end, the guy would get a phone call, and he wouldn't understand what was going on. And then it wasn't until the next album came out that you'd find out who was on the other end of the phone.
But yeah, Mike, late 60s, early 70s, that was their heyday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that comedy from that era, I don't know.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I kind of understand that. Yeah.
I don't see anybody else anywhere near what they were doing before or since. I mean, it's a very unique sort of thing. Because it was radio theater, but because of the new medium of the studio, they were able to transform it into something altogether different.
Who is that guy you probably love, Fredericks? The comedian who, Mike Lisk.
I never understood him.
But that was at a time when people were trying to redefine comedy, too, though. Ward Saul was reading the newspaper. So there was a lot of different stuff going on there.
There's a lot of big comics I don't get. Bill Hicks, somebody mentioned before. I never...
Yeah, I mentioned him, yeah.
I was going to say that Bill Hicks... I was going to say that... Lenny Bruce and Bill Hicks fall into the same category for me in a lot of ways.
Same here. I think I've watched every Bill Hicks clip available on YouTube, and I don't think I can't even understand how some of it's comedy. It's just some.
Why would you watch every clip of Bill Hicks though? If you didn't like.
Because there's not many, when I was looking, there weren't many, and B, I was like, this dude had to have said something funny at some point.
You know? Why is there so much?
It's like a challenge after a while, you know.
Yeah, no,
it was just to listen to Mark Maron talk about it on that podcast. Him and whoever his guests are, I'll talk about this guy in this odd tone, and I don't get it.
Yeah, nor did I. Did you watch the documentary?
No.
Yeah, where they're talking about Bill Hicks. You know, he was diagnosed with cancer, and all his friends were talking about him in this reverent tone. And how he wanted just one last, hang out with his friends, and you know, it was just silly the way they made him seem like this this genius who it sucked.
I think that dying made him, you know.
I think that
died.
Yeah. Once you die, you become a legend in some way. Like, what's his name? What's the guy?
Larry Storch?
No.
Agar.
Oh, fuck. This guy actually died in my town. Livingston.
Mitch Hedberg?
Yeah, Mitch Hedberg. He died in Livingston, yeah. And... I never liked him, but now he has this whole cult, cult around him that he.
Yeah.
I thought he was funnier than Bill Hicks. I mean,
Oh yeah.
Something wrong with his marketing, though.
Who? Mitch Hedberg?
Yeah.
Well, Hicks was.
I mean, if you want to get big, though. And then you have to die.
Lots of burping going on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's me. That's me. I'm drinking.
Glad there's only 3 minutes left of this.
Yeah. There's a lot of Fire Sign Theater on Spotify, so I'll check it out, Fredericks.
Okay, good. Thank you, Mike.
Which one should I go to first?
Well, are you going to listen to they're mostly album sides. What was the one with the Indians and everything in it?
That's right. Waiting for the Electrician or something like him.
Oh,
it's one of my favorites.
The early ones they have are, I think we're all bozos on this bus.
Well, that'll do. That's a good intro.
Don't crush that dwarf.
Yeah.
That's harder than Bozos. If you can get Waiting for the Electrician or someone like him, or I always liked All Hell, Marx and Lennon.
They've got best ofs.
They've got these best ofs on there.
Yeah, but that's not how they worked.
Right. I think that although they did do those fake television things like Dear Friends. That's really accessible because it's these short bits.
Ralph Sport Motors.
Yes.
Is that, how can you be in two places at once? Is
when
that
you're not anywhere.
Yeah, that's I love that one. That's also called All Hail Marx and Lennon. How can you be in two places at once when you're not anywhere at all?
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's a greater influence on. My podcast than anything else.
Yes, did you remember there was a stretch there? Was it when Tom was on hiatus, but they were playing all of the old Fire Sign Theater radio shows?
Yes.
I recorded all of them. I downloaded them the whole time, they were aired.
If you go to Radio Free Oz, they're putting up some interesting compilations. That might even be easier, Mike, than trying to buy it. Well, no, I guess that's more for people.
Speaking of BitTorrent, I'm sure there's tons of stuff.
Right.
Again, I'm shilling.
Right. How much money do you get
from the poor guy's estate?
How much money do you get from torrents for all of this shilling you're doing?
Yeah. I like healing.
Don't those BitTorrents take a while to download? I mean,
No, not really.
It depends. It depends on
your internet connection, of course.
And it also depends on how many people are seating. If you have only one or two people seating and they're not seating at a high bit rate.
I mean,
I got about 15 minutes.
Yeah, you can get them. It depends on your connection. It depends on how many people are actually sharing it.
But still, even if three people are sharing it, you can get it very quickly.
It depends, though. It really does, because sometimes someone is only doing it for certain hours of the day. I think my record was a month to get something.
Really?
But
yeah, I know a guy who was doing it with Grateful Dead shows, and it would take like a day or two, something like that.
Oh God, music is in a flash because those files are so small compared
maybe
to me.
Maybe it's got better.
Yeah, maybe it has. Maybe it has.
All
or maybe
right.
His computer
we've hit
better.
12.
Okay. Yes, Fredericks wants to go to bed.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Fredericks.
And
good
I need
night.
A manageable amount to edit.
All right,
good night, everybody.
Good
night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for being here. And,
good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Right.
Toodles. I hope when I'm on a picnic, learn something tonight.
That's right. I sure did.
All right. Well, good. At least some good will come out.
He learned he's never coming back.
No, I learned how to cut off this call.
So am I.